embryologist was one of the world pioneers of in vitro fertilization and is the founder of CIS, the Center for Infertility Solutions. He has been practicing as an infertility specialist for the past 37 years. In this podcast, Dr. Lologist discusses a pathway for in vitro fertilization once the diagnosis of infertility has been made. As always, all information in this podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only, and the comments are of a general nature. The information given is not intended as specific medical advice pertaining to a given patient. If you have a clinical issue with one of your patients, please seek appropriate advice from a colleague with expertise in the area. Dr. Nick, once the diagnosis of infertility is complete, what is the pathway for IVF, and what does the referring practitioner need to know?
Well, thank you. Once the diagnosis of infertility is made and the decision is to proceed to IVF, couples need to be referred to an infertility specialist. There are a number of clinics in Victoria, but they're all governed by Victorian law, so they all have to register. And believe it or not, they have to get police checks and child protection checks.
And why are these checks required?
Police checks are required because the government passed legislation and they didn't want to treat criminals and they didn't want to treat couples that had problems with looking after children in the past. And so it's a bit of a lengthy process because not only that, they have to have counselling. So they have to register, they have to do some blood tests, they have to pass the child protection order checks and the police checks, and they take about 6 weeks to get that done.
And what is the next stage in the process after the checks and counselling have occurred?
Well, they come back and they see the IVF specialist, and he will determine what type of treatment they should have. And this will be dependent on the semen, the number of eggs the patient has on her ultrasound and on blood tests. And he will then fathom out and decide the type of cycle that will be required. What we don't want to do is make the patient sick from the treatment.
Dr. Nick, what are the complications that may arise?
Well, when you stimulate the ovary to produce eggs, if you overstimulate it and you get too many eggs, the patient may develop the ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, and that can be quite devastating. There have been deaths around the world, none in Australia, I might add, but we go to great lengths to avoid that happening. And this is the biggest complication. There are other problems, anesthetic problems, or the naked needle going into the abdomen to collect the eggs can cause damage to bowel, bladder and blood vessel or introduce infection. But that's a very rare complication. About 1 in 10,000 women will have that problem.
Tell us more about the IVF process.
Well, once the IVF doctor has determined the type of cycle and the dose, it usually starts in a natural cycle. The patient's period commences, and on the second day, she starts injecting herself with a drug to make the eggs grow. This is called FSH, or follicle stimulating hormone. About 9 days into the treatment, an ultrasound is performed to see how many eggs are present. We then make the decision to give the patient a trigger injection.
And what is a trigger injection? Could you explain that to us?
The trigger injection is a hormone that releases the eggs from their attachment to the wall of the follicle. It's usually pregnal, a form of HCG, or another injection called Ovidril. And 36 hours after this injection, we go to theatre and we collect the eggs. So a patient gives herself the injection at 8 o'clock at home on a Monday night. Then on a Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, she's having her eggs picked up.
Dr. Nick, could you explain for us the process of picking up the eggs?
The patient has a very light anesthetic. She's not paralyzed and she's put up in the lithotomy position and is draped. And under ultrasound control, a probe is placed into the vagina and a needle under ultrasound guidance then goes into the ovary. And each ovary is drained of the, each follicle, I should say, is drained of the fluid. And in that fluid, there should be an egg. The fluid is handed over to the embryologist, who looks into the fluid and finds the egg and then tells the doctor how many eggs have been collected from that patient.
And what is the next stage in the IVF process, Dr. Nick?
Well, once the embryologist has the eggs in the laboratory, they are inseminated with the husband's sperm, which is produced on that same day. Some men need to have an anaesthetic as well to have their sperm collected from the testicle directly in what we call a fine needle aspiration. Once the eggs are cleaned, the eggs are usually inseminated with the sperm by microinjection. About 80% of all eggs are inseminated in that fashion. 20% have the sperm placed around the egg. About 24 hours later, the eggs are inspected to see if they're fertilized. Now, some will have fertilized and some won't. And this happens in an IVF program. So out of every 10 eggs collected, we hope to get at least 2 embryos. Once that happens, we grow them out to the blastocyst phase.
Dr. Nick, could you explain to us what is a blastocyst?
In a normal pregnancy, a spontaneous pregnancy, the egg hovers in the outer third of the tube waiting for the sperm to reach it. Once it's fertilized, it slowly makes its way back into the center of the uterus. And during that process, it multiplies from a single cell to 2 cells to 4 cells to 8 to a blastocyst, which is well over 100 cells. And it is at that time that it implants in the uterus. So in an IVF program, we grow them to day 5 so that when we put the embryo back into the uterus at day 5, it has a greater chance of implanting.
And what is the next stage in the process?
Well, we then get the patient home and we get her back in 2 weeks' time for a pregnancy test. Now, if the embryo has been tested and we know it's a genetically normal embryo when we've put it back in a woman under 40, she has a 60% chance of a pregnancy. So we look forward to seeing her so we can congratulate her on the pregnancy. And if she's not pregnant, we then decide what we're going to do next.
Dr. Nick, thank you for that very informative podcast on the IVF pathway.
It's been my pleasure.